Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now as we rotate through the New York City mayoral candidates, City Council Speaker Christine Quinn joins us once again. Speaker Quinn, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
Let's talk about commuting. You accompanied a Staten Island resident on her commute to Manhattan to make a point about what you would like to do with the MTA. Want to tell us about it?
Yep. We have in New York, we lead in an area we don't want to lead in. We have more mega commuters, people who live and work in our city, who commute over an hour and a half or more a day than any other city in America, 750,000. I want to put an end to that when I'm mayor. That's simply too long to get to and from work. And the main way to do that, a basic step forward, would be to give the mayor majority appointment to the MTA board and to give the mayor direct appointment of the head of the transit authority. We're the economic engine of the MTA, and we have the power and the voice of a piston, if you will. We need to change that.
Do you think the MTA is unresponsive to the needs of the city today as compared to Metro North and Long Island Railroad riders?
I don't think we get nearly the attention and responsiveness that we deserve, given the significance of us as a city, the number of people we have here, and how much of the system people in New York are actually paying for. And with this mayoral control, it wouldn't be about just having the control. It would be about being able to move us forward to have more and as quickly as we could, for example, 10 additional select bus service or bus rapid transit lines across the city, finding ways to integrate the MTA into helping us expand ferry service across the city, getting transportation more coordinated between MTA, the Department of Transportation, getting kind of out of transportation silos, and also recognizing mass transit is an economic engine. But by not having the mayor have the control, that kind of coordination between city agencies does not happen.
Did you see that study that was written up in the Times yesterday about upward mobility in different cities? New York was one of the better places for making the middle class. If you're born poor, and listeners who were born poor and have made it to the middle class will do a call-in, especially for you next hour. But a key reason that New York did pretty well was good mass transit. People in lower-ranked places like Atlanta and Chicago and Detroit couldn't get around as easily, which helped to keep them stuck in poverty. They couldn't get to their better jobs outside their neighborhoods. That's how important our transit system is to a successful society.
Without a doubt. And we're very lucky in New York City to have such a good 24-hour system. Not every city has that. But we have to realize we can be even better. And if we want to make it possible for people like Yanela, who I traveled with yesterday, to really firmly be in the middle class, and her 18-year-old daughter to get into the middle class. Or this morning, I was leafleting at a subway stop in Far Rockaway. Folks there have an hour and a half commute as well to get into Manhattan. I saw lots of healthcare workers heading into Manhattan. If we want to help those folks get into the middle class, we need to improve and expand mass transit. And I saw many people taking a cab to get to the subway there. So they're taking a cab to take the A train, which could take an hour or more.
But how do you fix that? I mean, I live at the other end of that line, the last stop on the A train in Inwood.
Right.
And so if you live—
I didn't see you when I was up there last week, I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I don't always hang around the subway stop, usually, but not always. But the you know, it just takes that long. Even if you're on the A train, which is a pretty good line, if you're starting in Far Rockaway and you're coming into Manhattan. I mean, how do you make that commute under an hour as a matter of policy?
Well, you add more options and you recognize there's not going to be one universal plan, right? So the answer for Far Rockaway is not the answer for Inwood. And when you have mayoral control of the MTA, we can get more specific neighborhood by neighborhood plans. Two, you add more options. And quite frankly, you start with the ones that are least expensive. We're not going to probably build a ton of new subways immediately, but you can do more bus routes. You can absolutely do bus rapid transit, select bus services. We could get more HOV lanes. We could expand ferry service in this city. And when we have mayoral control of the MTA, we can recognize that in some parts of the city, people have to take the LIRR in Queens to get into the city. We should make it so for those folks, they can pay a MetroCard fare, not an LIRR fare.
That's a good idea. They have that city ticket.
Right.
But you can only use it on the weekends.
Exactly. Right. It shouldn't be just about going to Jones Beach.
Almost,
you know what I mean?
As right. cheap as the subway fare, but not quite.
And then other things, Brian, like just easy things. Like yesterday when I was on the bus, halfway or so through Staten Island, the seats were full. But nobody's fault. You have to get on the bus, walk to the back of the bus to confirm there's no seats. We should have a way when you put your MetroCard in, technology-wise, it tells the driver the seats are full so we don't waste that time. And then this is more complicated, but we should have the driver be able to call central dispatch and say, I'm 95% full, send another bus out. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stop at the next stops. Stop there.
By the way, do you have a reaction to the idea the MTA is floating of selling naming rights for individual subway stations?
You know, I don't love that. Who loves that? But if somebody wants to give us a lot of money to put their name on a subway, I'm not going to say no. I don't love it, but if it's going to get some money in, you know, let's make sure it's not the most gargantuan letters you ever saw in your life and no neon.
I was imagining, what would they be? Apple Store 66th Street,
right,
Citibank
exactly.
23rd Street, Citibank 28th Street, Citibank 34th Street.
The time, Dwayne Reed, 100,000th one in the world.
The Times can't afford Times Square anymore. Maybe you'll have to change it as mayor to Disney Square. You ready for that?
I'm going to hold back on that. I'm going to hold back.
Christine Quinn, City Council Speaker, running for mayor, my guest on WNYC. And related to the question of upward mobility, we're asking the question all this week on air and online, has Mayor Bloomberg made us richer? He's a rich guy himself, obviously, and people probably elected him more to get us out of the economic holes that the financial crisis and 9/11 left us in before his first and
right.
his third elections than for any other reason. Here's how Comptroller and candidate John Liu reacted when I asked him yesterday, has Bloomberg made us richer?
Are you serious with that question? Has he made us richer? I think he has made some people richer in this city, probably the top 1%. The wealth gap is out of control in the nation. It's far worse in the city of New York, where 1% controls 33% of the city's income. And the wealth gap is growing worse every single day. So that's in large part due to the policies of the Bloomberg administration, policies that have subsidized large corporations while treating small businesses and entrepreneurs as cash cows. And overall, salaries and wages have not gone up significantly in the city of New York for the 99% of New Yorkers. And yet costs of living, for example, rents have gone through the roof. Particularly under this administration. Rents were always unaffordable for the last few decades, but it has become markedly more unaffordable for so many more families this past decade.
So that was John Liu's response. How about you on whether Mayor Bloomberg has made other New Yorkers richer? How has Mayor Bloomberg done, in your opinion, with everyone else's pocketbooks?
Well, look, there's no question that wealth has grown in some segments of New York City. There's also no question, and the mayor would agree with this, that we have a big disparity and you know, big divergence in income equality. We have significant income inequality in the city. Now, it's a national problem, but it is a problem here. So then the question becomes, how do you harness the wealth that's been created for some folks and use that to bring everybody else up, right? How to create more real opportunities to get into the middle class. So I'll give one example. The mayor deserves a ton of credit for making New York a city, and others do too, but that's tech friendly, that the tech companies want to come to. The vision of bringing Cornell to Technion and Roosevelt Island was one the mayor deserves a lot of credit for. Great. I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep in the next 2 weeks about those Cornell grads, but I am going to lose sleep over the CUNY grads. And what kind of jobs are they going to get? So everybody's focused on New York for tech. Okay, let's make it so the CUNY grads get the Google jobs. The CUNY grads get those tech jobs. That's doable. Last year, we went to the tech folks and said, why aren't you hiring from CUNY? They said, we don't like their curriculum. I said, would you rewrite it? They said, yes. We created a pilot program. It was small, about 20 young people. They all got paid internships at tech companies. Brian, they're graduating. They're getting those jobs. So
this
let's
is
harness
about,
that.
This would be about you as mayor applying pressure on CUNY to have a more effective curriculum?
No, it's about the partnership. It's about taking the interest that this business sector now has in New York, and seizing that interest to create middle-class jobs for CUNY. Let's not just let whoever gets hired. Let's make CUNY a pipeline into those tech jobs. We've started it. Then the next Mark Zuckerberg is going to be a Baruch grad, not a, I don't know, where do you go, Stanford or something? Whatever. That's going to become irrelevant. It's going to become about Baruch.
I think he dropped out. No, he actually finished Harvard, I think. It's the other guys who dropped out of college.
Harvard, whatever. They'll be the thing of the past.
Bill Gates, they all dropped out. The end of the John Liu answer. Rents were always unaffordable for the last few decades, but it has become markedly more unaffordable for so many families this past decade. You used to be a tenant advocate coming up. Critics of the last 12 years in New York say the mayor's massive rezoning made housing more expensive in the city and forced more people with moderate incomes to have those longer commutes. How much do you agree with that?
You know, I think the biggest assault on middle and working class housing in this city, and it set a stage that may have been a stage that the zonings were made worse, but the worst assault was when past city council and the state legislature weakened rent protection. We lost hundreds of thousands, maybe as many as 300,000 affordable rental units. And unless we act, we may have lost them forever. That's the biggest cause that's causing neighborhoods to lose places people were, the homes they raised their families in. So one of the main things I'm going to do as mayor to make sure middle income and working class families can have good homes and make progress for their families is go to Albany and make sure we get the rent laws strengthened and give New York City, not New York State, full power over the rent laws. And then on top of that, we need to build more middle income housing. That's something we have to do as the city. That's not something we can let the marketplace, quote unquote, take care of. We have to do that.
Some of your critics say you are partly responsible as city council speaker for not opposing more of the mayor's zoning plans that contributed to making housing more expensive and commuting times longer. What would you say?
I don't agree with that at all. I mean, partially what happened in many of these rezonings was that because of the intervention of myself and my colleagues, you saw 28, 30, 32% of the housing becoming affordable housing. And in many cases, we intervened in the council to make it permanent affordable housing, not temporary. That's an addition that's going to become part of the foundation of those neighborhoods that future changes can't erode. We add rent protections back on top of that and 40,000 new middle-class housing units. We're going to recreate and expand our neighborhoods as middle-class home bases.
I want to ask you about one other thing, and that is whether New York could ever suffer the same fate as Detroit. It's easy to be smug and say
no, it's actually not easy to be smug because we were almost there once and we can't forget that. Yeah.
And an issue in Detroit is the unfunded health and pension liabilities owed to city workers and retirees. Maybe you saw Bill Keller's column in the New York Times yesterday, which reminded us of New York City's own current unfunded pension and health liabilities for city workers. In health benefits alone, $90 billion, according to former Lieutenant Governor Ravitch, who he quotes, that's more than last year's entire city budget. So how much of a challenge will that be for the next mayor, and how would you deal with it?
Look, it's a challenge, and we have to be very mindful that we were once Detroit, and with all due respect to Detroit, we don't want to be that again. Now, there's a big difference right now. We learn from our mistakes. In the first 2 years, 3 years I was speaker, when we had surpluses, we did something Detroit didn't do. We didn't spend them. We prepaid $8 billion worth of bills. We created a $3 billion trust fund to protect us when times went bad. No one thought they'd go bad as quick as they did, but we were prepared. Few other cities in America were prepared, and it was my leadership that was key in making sure we were prepared. Now, we need to make sure, yes, workers deserve fair contracts, and we need to be grateful for the work they do running our city. No question about it. But it doesn't serve anybody if you spend more than you have now or in the future. And that's going to be both of those things, fairness, gratitude, and not spending more than we have is what's going to guide the negotiations I'll lead as mayor.
So if you're the Democratic nominee, you're going to be running against I don't know how many people now. Maybe it's two or three or four, the Republican nominee and this new independent Jack Hittery.
And Adolfo Carrion.
Carrion and the Independence Party and you know, maybe
who knows?
Liberal or conservative lines saying, as Hittery said the other day, that he's a progressive Democrat. He worked for Obama. He's got the Howard Dean campaign manager, Joe Trippi. But he says all of the Democratic candidates, including you, are too close to the unions and so are going to sell out the taxpayer to the unions. What
well,
do
first
you say?
Of all, a lot of those union workers, most of them are the taxpayers. So let's not start, you know, your campaign by vilifying union workers. That doesn't help anybody. But look, if you look at who's running for mayor, I'm the only person who can say I put money in a trust fund for the future, financially manage the city wisely. I'm the only person who can say when there were layoffs pending, I got unions, the Department of Education, and the council in a room and got to $70 million worth of concessions that saved jobs. And I'm the only person who can say when unions came to me looking for pension sweeteners, I said no. So I know how to bring people together and get concessions and save jobs. And I know how to say no. And I know how to plan for the future, which are the kind of skills you need to get in a room respectfully and negotiate, which no matter what happens on a campaign trail, you don't do it on the campaign trail.
The campaign trail goes on and on. Tomorrow we'll have Bill Thompson, the former controller, sitting in the same seat at the same time. We thank New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn.
Thank you.
We'll keep talking.
All righty.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, B-37 is back. Not the juror, the bus. We'll look at the MTA's proposed service improvements with our transportation reporter, Kate Hines. Stay tuned.